Grab your coffee, because this week I'm back with another Hollywood true crime case. This case baffled me, not only because I grew up watching this actress in iconic roles, but also because of the circumstances surrounding her death and what came to light afterwards. You might have guessed it, today we'll be talking about the death of Brittany Murphy. Let's take to the notes. Brittany Murphy was born on November 10th in 1977 in Atlanta, Georgia. Her father, Angelo, was a mobster who owned many nightclubs in Florida, and that's actually how he met her mother, Sharon, when he hired her to work in one of his clubs. Her parents split up when she was only 2 years old, so she lived with her mother in New Jersey, and when she was a teenager, she moved to Los Angeles, California to pursue acting and singing. Brittany said her mother really supported her dreams and dropped everything to make the move when she said she wanted to act. This dream became a reality when she was cast in Clueless. From there, she was in other great films like Girl Interrupted, Drop Dead Gorgeous. She also had the chance to combine her passion for singing and acting when she was cast in A View from the Bridge on Broadway in 1977. About her singing, she was quoted saying, "My singing voice isn't like my speaking voice. I've just always kept it a secret and never taken credit because I wanted to learn how to work behind the microphone in a recording studio. And some of the singers don't even know it was me recording on their albums." Her other credits include Don't Say a Word, 8 Mile, Riding in Cars with Boys, Spun, Just Married, Uptown Girls, Sin City, and Happy Feet. She does have some TV credits too, and voiceover credits in Sister Sister, Frasier, Boy Meets World, and King of the Hill, which actually got her a nomination for an Annie Award. As for her private life, we know that she dated Ashton Kutcher in 2002 after filming Just Married together. She also was engaged to a talent manager named Jeff and then to a production assistant named Joe, but neither of these engagements really ended in anything great. They just kind of dropped off. It wasn't until 2007 when she married Simon Monjack, who was a screenwriter. The couple moved into a home with Brittany's mother, Sharon, and it was during those 3 years of their marriage and living with her mother that her life started to slowly fall apart. During this time, Brittany began losing a ton of weight, which did get her a gig as a spokesmodel for Jordache Jeans, but also sparked rumors in the media that she was into heavy cocaine use. She, of course, denied these rumors, but to this day, people still discuss them. She was also in the process of filming a movie called Caller in Puerto Rico, but was replaced during the filming, and we'll get into that later. Many said that she was fired for being difficult on set, but she said that she left after experiencing creative differences. Then, at 8 a.m. on December 20th, 2009, Los Angeles Fire Department responded to a medical emergency request at Brittany's home. It was Brittany's mother calling 911, and you can actually listen to this call by clicking the link to the ID episode in my show notes. The report from Brittany's mother was that she had collapsed on the bathroom floor and there were attempts to resuscitate her. When paramedics arrive, they see her husband, Simon, performing CPR, and they transport Brittany to Cedars-Sinai, where she was pronounced dead after going into cardiac arrest at 10:04. She was just 32 years old. The assistant chief coroner told the Associated Press that they conducted an autopsy the day after she died, and they had believed that her death appeared to be natural. It's important to note here that her husband was heavily against this autopsy being performed. They also note that there were about 90 prescription pills on Simon's bedstand. And as they were awaiting the autopsy results, a ton of new information came into the police about Simon. For example, one of his past wives came forward to say that he was a totally different person after they got married. He was one way when he was courting her, and the second the ring was on her finger, he was a different man. He was also not really well-liked in the industry. He was known for being difficult, and many called him a liar as well. His own mother said he mistook fantasy for real life, and Brittany's friends and family called him Satan. Her friends and family said they couldn't even speak to Brittany without going through Simon first. He monitored literally everything she did. Every person she talked to, every role she took. When the toxicology report finally came back, they said the cause of death was listed as deferred. And then this was changed to pneumonia on February 4th in 2010. It's important to note here that they listed a secondary factor in her death as well, and this was a mix between iron deficiency or anemia and drug intoxication, which they believe to be a mix of over-the-counter drugs and prescription. This was likely related to an upper respiratory infection that Brittany had got a few months earlier, it's assumed, but because the drugs were legally obtained, her death was still ruled an accident. And the scrutiny around her husband did not go away. Actually, he appeared on Larry King Live and on Lifestyles of the Rich and Dead, making himself look, honestly, so much worse. There was a swirl of headlines about his involvement with her death when suddenly the unthinkable happened. 5 months after Brittany's death, Simon Monjak, her late husband, was found dead in the same home. The call to 911 was again made by Brittany's mother. This is weird. I mean, they were living together all this time after Brittany's death in the same house. Just strange, but it actually gets even more weird. The coroner, Ed Winter, stated that he, Simon, also died of acute pneumonia and severe anemia. But when they arrived to the home, they found prescriptions next to the bedside. The prescriptions had both Simon's name and Sharon's name. And they asked her why there were pills in Brittany and Simon's room addressed to Sharon. She said that they had been sleeping in the same bed to mourn the loss of Brittany. It was later reported that there may have been toxic mold in the home, but this was eventually eliminated by a doctor as being a reason for their cause of death. At first, Brittany's mom said that the idea that mold had killed her child was absolutely absurd, but she later changed her mind and said yes, this was definitely the cause a few years later, especially after scrutiny and headlines about her involvement started to surface. She actually went so far as to file a lawsuit against the company that built Brittany's home. And believe it or not, the plot thickens from here. We then find out that Brittany was actually caring for her mother, who suffered from neuropathy post-cancer, and her husband, who suffered from seizures. She was caring for them both even when Brittany was very sick with an upper respiratory issue. It said that she felt trapped in her own house and felt the only escape was her bathroom. That was where she found time alone. And the weekend of her death, things were just off. Literally. The day before she died, the power in her house went out and even the backup generator failed. The same night is when things kind of started to spiral for Brittany. She began to gasp for air and her lips turned blue. It seems that she took medication to try to help this. She took nasal spray, cough medicine, and antibiotics. But there were also drugs found in her system that she herself would likely not have taken. Anti-seizure medications, anti-inflammatories, and both antidepressants and pain easers. It's said that her last words were, "I'm dying. I'm going to die. Mommy, I love you," which were said right before her mother called 911 and Simon started CPR. Another odd factor of this case is how badly her husband wanted a book written about her after she died. An excerpt from Biography says, quote, "In the weeks following Murphy's death, Block spent time with Monjak and Sharon, both giving interviews, and Monjak trying to convince Block to write a book about Brittany and her tragic passing. Simon wanted the book because he was convinced, before the autopsy report on Brittany came back, that she had literally died of a broken heart caused by the shoddy way she had been treated in Hollywood," unquote. He cited how she had been dropped from Happy Feet 2 and frustration with unfounded stories about her drug use, saying, quote, "Only later would I realize how much of what Simon told me about his family, education, marriage, and career were exaggerated or simply fabricated," Block said. So this takes us back to Simon Monjak being considered not truthful. And then Brittany's semi-estranged father began claiming in 2013 that he knew people who died from acute anemia, meaning iron deficiency, which is what both of them were have said to have died from. He says that people who die from acute anemia often have been poisoned with arsenic. So he asked for a hair sample of Brittany's to be independently tested. And after some time, he was granted this right. Her mother obviously fought against this, but her father won. And so a Colorado State Examination Office found in Britney's hair there were heavy metals. He believed that this was done deliberately to Britney, and often he hinted that he believed her mother may have been the culprit of poisoning her. He said to Good Morning America, quote, "I have a feeling that there's definitely a murder situation here. Yeah, it's poison. Yes, yes, I know that," unquote. A theory then came to light that Simon and Britney wanted to start a new life. They wanted to move out and be separated from Sharon so they could have a child. The theory states that this upset Sharon, as Simon and Britney were completely supporting her financially. And that would have been her motive if the theory proved true. It's important to remember how close Britney and her mother were, though. Britney never said a bad thing about her mother. But she never said a bad thing about Simon either, even though almost everyone else did. Others investigating the case think that they both died of the causes that were reported, but still blame Simon for not taking medical action for Britney sooner, as she was sick months before. Following her death, Britney's mother and widower set up a foundation in her name. Unfortunately, though it was said to be a nonprofit that supports cancer research and children's art education, in 2010, record searches showed that the foundation was not a not-for-profit foundation. Someone was profiting somewhere. So all of the donations were refunded, and it is still down. Though her father did try to restart it, for some reason, it's just not a thing right now. Brittany Murphy is buried at Forest Lawn Memorial Park in Los Angeles. And though her cause of death may be stated, who, if anyone, is to blame remains a mystery. That's it for this episode. I want to know what you think happened to Brittany Murphy. Let me know. Let me know by DMing me on Instagram at MeganTheMorningPodcast. And let me know what celebrity deep dive you want to hear next.